little gift for you as you go down this way. Follow Miss Lisa.
Praise God.
Awesome.
How awesome is that, huh? Isn't that great? Well, last week I had mentioned something to you about a country of Brazil. And so I would really love for Jack and Lisa to express to you a little bit more of the vision, and we're going to show you what we're going to be doing in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you. We come as a couple, and as you know, like when you're married, sometimes you cover each other and just say, go forth. And so I know Lisa has been so gracious to allow me to go with my gifting. And I just want to say a bit about that. I learned through pastors teaching here at the church that sometimes you have something that you're really good at, but that's just the gift that God gave you to do something else that he called you to do. Amen. And so I learned that I love music. You guys know that I love music, but that's just the avenue that God's used me to encourage others into loving Jesus. And I learned that, and it's amazing. It's literally the around that time when I got a call from Brazil about 6 years ago. I had no connections. That's how I know it was the Lord, because out of the blue, I get a call from, I'm looking at my phone, and I think it's, you know, one of those crank calls, right? It says Sao Paulo. You're like, yeah, no. And it's a pastor asking me if I'll come run a music seminar. And I go, okay, yes. Yeah, again, praise the Lord. And so I was privileged to bring a team of five people, and we went, and worship is exploding in that region, and they're trying to learn instruments, they're trying to start orchestras, they're trying to do so many things, and they themselves don't even know how to do it. So they invited us down to help. Well, 6 years later, they've called us again, and to sharpen their skills and to take it to all new levels, and this time to really speak into the worship bands. Now, I got to say, if you've ever been to any other church, you know that worship is anointed at this church. Amen? That team that you just saw, you don't get that everywhere. I mean, you get worship, and worship is worship. We know that. Amen. But this is excellence right here. And so immediately I said, well, I need to bring Melissa and Ryan Klaus, because if we're going to up the level of worship, I know a guy. I know a girl. I know who to, I know it's not me, it's them. So I'm bringing them and two others. We're a team of five going down. And it's going to be more than just music. I already know this. I'll tell you some more stories later. But already I can tell you the blessings and the anointing that's on this trip. The head pastor, just to give you a little bit, when they first called me, I said, yeah, I'd love to. It's church, great. And they said, well, it's a little bit bigger than that. Okay, how big? 54 churches. Okay, all right, yes. All right, how many thousands of people are we talking about? So it upped the level right away. And so the head of all of those churches was on the phone with me and said, oh, is that Ryan, the guy that you said is coming? Yeah. We'd like you to preach this Sunday night. You'd get there, please. Amen, right? Amen. So Ryan is going to be preaching the first night we're there. And I'm believing for big things when we go down there. Just to cast vision to let you know, I'm believing that in just a couple years here, we're going to bring this team. We're going to bring this whole team down to Brazil and worship to thousands of people and make sure that they know that Jesus is first in our lives, right? And that we know how to worship, and we're going to demonstrate that till the end of our breath. So I just want to thank you as a church, though, for the covering of ministry. There's so many in this church that you go out, and pastors taught us to go out and use our gifts. And there's so many people in this church that are doing that. And I want to thank you, Lisa and I want to thank you for the covering that you've always given everybody, Pastor. Mm-hmm. And that as a church, thank you for the covering that you've given us. So thank you.
Praise God. Give them a great hand. Thank you. Love y'all. I am so proud of them. And I just want to say to you, none of us really know the gifts that Jack and Lisa bring to us. We've experienced a lot of it, but they are deep with an anointing Pastor Ryan and Melissa are deep, and God is doing some amazing things through them. And so what we're going to do in a couple of weeks, we're going to receive an offering for them to go. And it's expensive to fly. It's expensive to stay. Now the church is over there. They are doing the same thing. They're raising funds to help. But it costs many thousands of dollars for them to do what they're doing and for the church in Brazil. We want to grab a hold of our sister churches, and we want to love on them and express that. So be praying what God has for you to do, and that will be in a couple weeks, and we'll see what God does for Brazil through our team. Now, I really want us to pray, because I really believe that today, this morning, is something that we have to see to understand the fullness of the full Ten Commandments. There is a principle that we're going to find of humility in this commandment, but the principle is going to teach us something that if we grab a hold of what God was doing, what the Father was doing, giving this commandment to protect his sons and daughters, to wrap his arms around them, to love them, to let them experience the fullness of who he is. And I believe there's a lot of people today that love God with all their heart, but they're not experiencing the fullness of who he is. They know what he is, but they really don't know who he is. And this commandment we're going to cover in Exodus 20, you can turn your Bibles to that, and we're going to find out that, again, it's about relationship. We're going to look at the third commandment, and we will see that it's about relationship with God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but we must understand the principle of humility behind it. Because when there's humility, or we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time, in due season, we're going to experience who he is. And that's my goal as your pastor. I've seen miracles, we've seen healings, we've seen salvations, we've been on mission trip all over the world. We have many people that are watching from all over the world, churches, we welcome you. But the reality is, I want all of us to know who he is. Because of understanding the who, then when life brings us different challenges, ups and downs and hurts and things that we could be offended with and all the things in life, our basis of life is who God is in our life. And that relationship with him. So let me again remind you in this series, I believe there's a principle behind every commandment, wanting to bring us into a relationship with God, deeper relationship, and deeper relationships with one another. Now, let me again remind you, I said this on the first message on this series, is the Ten Commandments, really you can separate them into two sections. The first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. And the last six have to do with our relationships with one another. And so we're learning the importance of relationship, because this is one of the first, if not the first thing that God gives Israel when they're going into the promised land. When they're going into the land that God promised you. Every one of you, God has promised you so many things, but there's something particular of a land he's given you. That's what Jack and Lisa were talking about, the gifts. and that we're talking about, you know, Pastor Ryan going, and he's great in worship and playing instruments, but he's also great with the Word of God. He's called of God to preach the Word. And so it's being brought out in the Ten Commandments in these principles to be able to understand and have a solid base that you can go into a land that you don't know, but God called you there. You can go into a land that is full of giants, that God said, I will fight the battles for you. If you don't know that, when you look at the giants, you're going to back away. And you're going to say, well, I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not. And when God is asking you to do something that's a little different than the norm. So the third principle, I think, is about humility. And it's about the name of God. In Exodus 20, verse 7, look what it says. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So in vain, what does that mean? So we're going to cover all this today. And I'm going to quickly now just give you more introduction, because there's some things that we just need to gather and get on the same page with the time frame that this commandment was given. We need to dive in and include our time frame along with Israel's time frame of the day. And in doing so, we understand that it will relate to us today. It will give us an understanding of something so powerful of humility that we will be able to see, even though things in life look hard, situations are not right. Psychologically, we go to counseling and we get great counsel. We need that counsel, by the way. I had someone a few weeks ago say, well, Pastor, are you against counseling? No, I am for counseling. And we need more of it, but it needs to be steered into Scripture. It needs to be steered into the principles of the Word of God. And I thank God we have people that are part of our congregation that are licensed counselors. And you need to seek them out and find counseling so they can lead you into wholeness of what God has given us through Scripture. So think about this. Why would God be so insistent in not using his name in vain or the wrong way? I believe the answer is because his name is his character. His name is who he is. We must be in awe of who God is. And if we are a prideful people, then we won't be in awe of how great our God is. Because I have faced situations through the years of my life, and it's understanding how great my God is that brought me through the situation. That I knew getting through the situation had nothing to do with my character, but it had everything to do with who he was, that I humbled myself under his mighty hand, and in that season, there was a day that he brought me through, that he gave me victory. Are you finding that? Amen. So here's an old saying. People will say, you know, that guy has a bad name in the community. When you say that, you're not referring to the name on his birth certificate, but you're referring to his character. And God has a good name. So all through Scripture, the name of God is synonymous with God, with who he is. You can say, I believe he saves, because you know he is a person, he is a God that saves. That's his character, that's what he does. So understand when it's bringing this out and we're starting to dig under and find the principle of humility, we have to sometimes, I have to, maybe not you, I have to get myself out of the way so I can see perfectly who my God is and his name and his character. So all through Scripture, the name of God, again, is synonymous with God. Even the Lord's Prayer starts with, "Hallowed be your name." Hallowed means holy or separate. Your name is separate than any other name on earth. A lot of people don't know this, but God's name in the Old Testament is stated 6,800 times. So we need to understand Yahweh is stated 6,800 times, and it is so vital and important. People ask, what's the difference between Yahweh and Jehovah? Yahweh comes from three different Hebrew letters, YHVH, Hebrew letters, Yod, He, Vav, and He. In the Hebrew language, you need to know that there are also no vowels, only consonants, for all you English majors. I ain't one. But when they began to add vowels to the name of God and then pronounce it, in the 13th century, they pronounced the name of God Jehovah. Yahweh turned to Jehovah. This is what they did. YHVH, they added YEHOVAH, meaning he will be, he is, and he was. Now, these were Catholic scholars in the 13th century. By the way, in the Greek, it's called, now, again, I was an English major, so I'm going to try to pronounce this as best I can. It's called tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton. And its meaning is the four letters. They started changing the V to a W, which was not in Hebrew. Now listen to this. Yahweh, meaning he who caused existence. So Yahweh, YAHWEH, meant he caused existence. In other words, we have a creator who is great, and we need to understand, according to the third commandment, that his name is great because who he is great. He's all to us. That's why when Moses said, "What is your name?" the burning bush, he said, "I am that I am," or in essence, Scripture really says, "I am what I am. I was, I am, I will be, I always existed." So the third commandment is trying to show us we need to humble ourselves in not trying to match ourselves to God, but see the fabulous God that we serve and humble ourselves under who he is, and in my life, your life, everything he's called you to, he is big enough to take you to it. He's big enough to take Israel into the promised land and give them the land that they promised, and no one could stop it because of who he is. The name of the Lord is great. Here's some more introduction. When Israel went into exile about 594 BC, the reason they went into exile is because they profaned his name. So Jewish people stopped pronouncing the name of God about 600 BC because they didn't want to take a chance of profaning his name. There was something that took place that they really realized, hey, God is serious about this. Not because he just wants to be the big stud of our life. I want you to understand this. That God is saying, I want you to understand who I really am and be humble and see it so I can bring you victory. because I promise you that. I promise you victory over that situation, but you got to see me as the one that can do it. So here's what we need to understand. They weren't profaning his name by saying it out loud. They were profaning his name by the way they lived. But they thought they would fix it by not saying his name. They had the name of God on them, but they were worshiping idols. One of the greatest ways we profane the name of God is we call ourselves Christ-like and don't live Christ-like. The scripture is telling us we don't mix his name, which is holy, with the profane. In other words, he doesn't become common to us. To enter into the presence of God is not common. You are entering into the Creator's anointing. Ezekiel 36, 23. This is when they went into exile. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name when they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. Watch what God says. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned. We get the word profanity out of the word profane. Among the nations, wherever they went. See, the word profane means to treat as common. They treated his name as common. So if you serve a God that is common like you, then when you're facing something that's bigger than you, then you have no hope that it's going to work. But if you see your God, his name, his character, who he is, as great, and no one is greater than he that's within us and he's in the world, then you're going to stand in the midst of your trial and you're going to have victory in the end. That's what we're seeing, the principle from the third commandment. Is your relationship with God common? Or do you fall on your face before God? The moment the first note is here. Yes, it's worship. Yes, it's people, humans. But the moment the anointing begins to fall in this place, like it does every single week, where is your heart? What are you seeing? What are you experiencing? God is saying, my name is great. And he was concerned. Why? Because if you don't see his name as great, and you walk in a lifestyle that does not profane, making him common to you, then you're going to see the answers of your life. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this, bring them back to the land, for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, so that you see I am your deliverer, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went to. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. So I believe in today's day to take up his name as a believer and be afraid of what people think about you because of your belief, we're taking God's name in vain. Notice, I'm going to show you many scriptures. Don't say the Lord, but say the name of the Lord. There's a lot of scriptures that we memorize, but we don't quote it perfectly. And let me just show you some. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. A lot of people say the Lord is a strong tower. But the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. They run to who he is, the character of God. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the Lord God. No, that's not what it says. but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What God remembered at the beginning, he's trying to tell Israel, you're going to go into a land that I promised you, but they serve idols and they take my name in vain. They don't know who I am. They don't believe in me. And they just think common because they have many gods. But it says, I want you to keep focus that the name of the Lord is to be praised. And that name is who I am, my character. And when you see it, you know it, you believe it, you live it, then I can take you every place that I promised you. In a prayer Jesus did in John 17, when he was in the garden, he was praying for us too. I'm going to share you three basic statements that he makes. John 17, 6. I have manifested your name to the men you have given me. I have shown you his character. I've shown them who you are. Verse 11. Father, keep through your name those whom you have given. You know what he is praying? He is saying, I know who you are. He wasn't telling God to do it. He was telling God, I know you're going to do it because that's who you are. That's your name. That's your character. You're going to take care of them. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. I know Peter. I know Peter. Come on, man. What he would do? He'd remind him of the name of God. He would remind them constantly of who God is. Oh, man. Jesus said, while I was with them, I kept them in your personhood or your character. I kept them thinking about it over and over and over. Romans 10:13. This is a quote from Amos. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say who calls on the Lord. Now, we do that. We call on the Lord. But again, I'm trying to show you the name of the Lord is, and the Lord is the same. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Why did I get saved? I didn't get saved because of sin. I got saved because I got a glance and a glimpse of who God is, and he was my Savior. Being my Savior was absolutely given to me by the Holy Spirit because I saw his name. I saw his character as Savior, and that's why I received him. Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Every place it says the name of Jesus in the New Testament, it's saying you called on Yahweh. The name of God is here. God the Father has given him Jesus, the name that is above every name. So, here again, let's dig a little bit deeper. So God says, don't carry the name of the Lord in a vain way. So how do you do that? So I'm going to show you three ways how we do that. So our goal is to carry the Lord's name in a humble way. Okay, now I remember when we were in the state championships of playing baseball and I was the starting pitcher for the semifinal game. And so we were walking around. I had a guy, a friend of mine, his name was Tony Alavado. He was my Italian brother, and he was 6'4" and weighed about 240 pounds, solid muscle. And everywhere I went, he was around me because we had threats that someone would come and break my arm. Okay, now, those were high school days. I don't know how serious it was, but someone heard about it, and Tony walks up to me. He says, hey, man, I'm with you. Wherever you go, I go. I keep thinking about that because wherever I go, God is with me. Greater than Tony Alavado. but I liked Tony Oliveto. So let me give you the first way that we can take God in vain. Prayer. Remember, they were entering a land that was filled with heathens. There was idolatry, false worship, witchcraft. They were sacrificing their children. The way they called on idols is they would call the name of the idol. Wonder where they got that idea. We must, I just wanted to slow down here because I want you to really hear this. We must study or take the Ten Commandments in the context of today, because we have the same context of back then in our world today. The Lord was saying, my name is not a magical cantation. You see, people, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And it's just common, common, common. Now, don't get me wrong, I use in Jesus' name in my life. But you don't use God's name like a cantation. The reason is because God's name is who he is. Better said, God's saying, my name is who I am. And in Jesus' name, your thoughts must get to a place in your prayer is in Jesus' name, you're looking at who Jesus is. You're remembering who Jesus is and not just, Father, thank you for this Whopper at Burger King. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're not being, I was going to use a word, and that's not a good word, especially online. We're not being a people that just look at things, you're wrong, you're right, you're wrong, you're right. We're not trying to do that, be religious-minded all the time. But we have to understand the principle that is behind it, to humble ourselves, humble, humility to come. And humility, when you are humble, you are beginning to see, like when I walk up here, I don't know if you ever noticed, but in most cases, even when my wife is up here, everything, I will stand over to the side. It is a sign that I've decided to do decades ago that when other people are up on the platform, I am humbling. I'm coming under what they are doing. I'm releasing the pulpit to people and allowing them to their gifts to flourish, and I support it. And that's why you saw me. I say the names, and then you saw me walk over here. It is a sign of humility to myself, reminding me that when Jack and Lisa were talking, is that their ministry, their anointing is great, and I need to receive it with gladness. When the worship team is up here, when someone else, when Dr. Remy speaks to the men, is that I don't go up there and say, well, let me introduce you. I spent a lot of years with this guy. No, no, no. It's not about me. And that humility in relationship with God allows me to see God in every situation of my life. Are we seeing that? Acts 19, verse 13, speaking of the name of the Lord and the wrong way they used it. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, itinerant, took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord, Jesus, over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who in the world are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. They saw who God was because they were using it wrong. So we use his name selfishly at times, and if we use it pridefully, it becomes vain. James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Watch this, that you may spend it on your pleasures or selfishly. The Holy Spirit in that scripture used the word amiss. Amiss means that you become sick and miserable. The scripture could be stated this way. When you ask amiss, what you're asking will make you sick and miserable if I gave it to you. Wow. See, we read all these scriptures when we ask amiss. You know, we wonder what that is. It's bottom line. Let me just tell you, the bottom line principle of asking amiss is that you are not seeing the God whom you're proclaiming. You're doing it as a cantation. And I want you to recognize is it's not something that, oh, okay, I get that. All right, I won't do that anymore, and I will never do that again. Yes, you will, because it becomes a habit in Jesus' name. But I'm asking you, and God in the third commandment was asking Israel, every time you go through situations and you're praying and you're doing all the different things that I've asked you to do, I want you to think of my name, my character, who I am. And let me just say it this way in prayer. Well, God hasn't answered my prayer yet. I'm still waiting on answers of some prayers. But it doesn't get me to where, what's wrong with God? I might as well give up. Maybe this is God's will. No, God is great. God knows way more than you and me. And what God is doing, he said, I promised it. Know who I am. I will do it. It might not be on my time frame, but I will do it. So what do? You stay in faith. You stay professing the word of God. And there's a lot of people, they pray and then they give up. And then you ask people to come to a prayer service, and 20% of people show up because 80% of them have given up on prayer. When you ask amiss, what you're asking will make you sick and miserable. So the way we pray the right way is this. When we pray his will, his word to be done by using his name, when we pray using his name, is because you're basing your prayer on his character. God, you said if I don't ask, I won't receive. So I'm asking, and I know who you are, and it's a done deal. And so I'm going to stand in faith for the rest of my life. John 16:24. Until now, I love that, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Here it is. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So we pray like Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. What's his will? The word of God. When Terry and I were first married, I told you this story quite a few years ago. We got married, and lo and behold, it starts happening. We start having children. And I don't know why we started having children. And so I'm looking, because of my brain, I'm thinking, okay, I've saved since I was 14. I'm going to need more money so I can continue to save. So I thought I'd get something to make money. So lo and behold, for $450, I believe it was, don't quote me on that, it's close to that, I bought a thing that I could start selling homes, buying homes and selling homes, all right? And I was excited. It was coming, and it took a while to get there. A few weeks later, it arrives, and the Holy Spirit said, don't you dare open that up. And so I went, what? And So I'm walking over to get, you know, something to slice it open and everything. Don't you dare open that up. And then I caught, oh, that's the Holy Spirit talking to me right now. And I said, why? He says, because you're not trusting me. You're not trusting my character. I called you into the ministry. I also, you and your wife prayed to have children, and I blessed you with children, and now you're trying to take over to take care of you and your children. Well, I took that box, and I put it in the closet, and I shut the closet, and I never opened it. Because I was in prayer asking God to bless, but I was praying and show me what I can do to better my life, better my wife, take care of my children better. And I said, okay, no more. From that time on, Lord, whatever you have me to do, whatever you want me to give, whatever I will do, because I will never profane your name, because you're the God that promised me that you are Jehovah Jireh and you'll take care of everything for me. So when you pray, use his name for his will, not for a vain purpose. So the second way we can use God's name in vain is prophecy. Now, what is happening in Brazil? What's happened when we went to Africa? What's happened when we went to Cambodia and the Philippines and all the different places that we ministered came through prophecy. Many decades ago, God gave this church a prophecy. And many prophecies that were the same. And God is so, I believe in prophecy, it's scriptural. But let me talk about this because we need to understand we can take even the gifts that God gives us and falsify them. Because it then becomes our opinion. So we always need to humble ourselves, even if we move in the gift of prophecy, is we need to humble ourselves and making sure it's what God said, not what we say. Jeremiah 23:25. I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, verse 28, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. We have this in church in America today, all over the world. We have people that share their opinions and they say, thus says the Lord. They're taking the name of the Lord in vain. These people need to know the second part of the third commandment says this, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The word guiltless means unpunished. So I know this might sound a little harsh, but I'm bringing this out because I'm showing you areas in our church lifestyle that we can take the Lord's name in vain and not know it and be deceived. All right? So the word guiltless means unpunished. Verse 7, for the Lord will not let him go unpunished. Jeremiah 14, verse 13, God told the sword and famines is coming, but other prophets said it wasn't. So let's read it. Verse 14. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanding them, nor spoken to them. They prophesied to you false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. Now, I'm not trying to scare us, but in our society, we have so undervalued the name of God, which then we undervalue God. I believe we need to see his name holy. I believe that we need to reverence his name because it's him who we are proclaiming. It's who he is that we are proclaiming in our prayers and in a prophetic message that we have. Using his name in vain is calling to question or into question God's character. So, if you're watching online and listening to a podcast, anyone here, do not propagate your agenda. Do not use the name of the Lord in vain, because it will not go unpunished. Through the years, 46 years of ministry, I remember the first year that I returned 18 years ago, there's a gentleman, good guy, but something came in his life, struggles in his families, all different things. And he walked up to me and said, I'm a prophet, and the Lord is saying this. Totally opposite of what I knew the Lord was saying, through other agreement of prophetic words of people, coming in agreement with counsel, all that. And he said things, and I just said, you know, I don't agree. Why don't you come back to my office? And he said, but you need to receive me. God sent me to you to lead your church. And my old Detroit days almost came up. But it didn't. You can pat me on the back. I was nice. But, you know, I said, well, my brother, why don't you just hang out with us a lot longer and why don't you watch what God's going to do in our church. And he stood by for about 2 months and he left. But the third way we can use God's name in vain is proclamation, or speaking the name of the Lord in the wrong way. We can pray the name of the Lord in the wrong way. We can prophesy the name of the Lord in the wrong way. And we can proclaim the name of the Lord in the wrong way. Leviticus 19:12, watch this, says, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God, because I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Again, reminding us, you need to come, humble yourself, and you need to see the situation or even what you're thinking by looking at who I really am. Did you know that Father God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in him shall be saved? He also said, I am your friend. Because he knew a lot of us would be lonely. He sent his Son, his only begotten Son, to die, to take this awful sin of the world on him. That's the God we're talking about. That's the loving God that we're proclaiming when we're talking about him. And in a lot of instances, because there are some, I'm not really talking to you, but if it is you, then please listen. God is not slapping Israel. God is not slapping you. He's really trying to tell you, hey, I know the world is awful because of sin. But if you see me in the midst of this, you see my name, my character, then your words will change. You no longer will proclaim things that are not true about me. People pray things wrongly about God. Well, you know, God, he allowed this to happen, and, you know, he... Leviticus 21:6. They shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God. For they offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God. Therefore, they shall be holy. This speaks of faith. Now, I'm going to say something a little bit stronger here. But understand that this is God in the proclamation of who we are, what we say that we are and God is. What we talk about, how we talk about our individual lives, our personalities, our gifts, how we talk about our church, how we talk about where God placed us in a business or the jobs that he's given us. We use the term, oh my God, with no reverence at all. We text OMG like we text LOL. Obviously, people become so arrogant to curse somebody with the word God. They use GD to curse something. This is why I believe the third commandment is the principle of humility. To literally think that to use God to curse things. If you knew God, he sent his only son to destroy the curse. We must have an intimate, passionate respect for his name, for who God is. Again, because we might have known the Lord for so long, he becomes common to us. Worship becomes common when we're literally worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This God who gave us, who breathed life into us and gave new life to us, who healed us in the midst of this world that is just groveling in all the stuff that it is. Every person in this world, no matter who they are, God loved that whoever would call on his name, he would save them. But we can use the name of the Lord in the right way, can't we? Psalm 44:8 says, in God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. How do you boast in God? Not about yourself. It's about who he is. Man, you just walked into your boss office and he says, man, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? And he kind of reprimanded you. And you want to walk out and say, I can't believe him. All the stuff that I've done, I've been with him 10 years and he talks to me like that. No, you walk out and say, God, show me where I've made the mistake. Show me why I've offended him. Because I want him to know you in the midst of this difficulty. You get a job, and it's the worst job you've ever had before in your life. Everybody you're working next to, you'd rather slap than love. Don't look at me that way, because you know those things. Maybe God put you there because he could trust you to be big enough to see him in the midst of the stuff and change the culture. How about your baseball team? How about your football team, your wrestling team? How about your neighborhood? See, in California, do we even know our neighbor? Do we even know our next door neighbor? Some of you say, yeah, I do, and I wish I didn't. But see, this isn't, you know, God just going, you shall not. This is what he's saying. I want you to see me. I want you to see who I am. so that whatever situation you're in, you can rise up on top of it. Watch this. I'm going to use a term. And win. And win. I've run out of time. Let's go ahead and stand. I could have kept you another hour, but I'm not going to. So what do? Because if in my study time and putting things together, I want to tell you, I had to spend a few minutes after each thing I wrote down, how we take God's name in vain. And I could have wrote in parenthesis next to that and said, I've done that. Third one. I've done that. But what do? Oh, I got to go fix everything I did wrong. No. 1 John 1:9 says, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that's what you do. What do you see? That God so loved the world, he sent his son. He went to the cross. I received that. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But he knew I'm still going to blow it. So I confess that before the Lord. And after I confess that, I don't have a long face. Oh, I'll never get it right. Put my shoulders back, and I say, okay, I'm going to do the opposite of what I did before. And how do you do that? You see his name. You see his character. You see who he is. He's great. He's a loving, forgiving, gracious father that just every day just so proud and wants to wrap his arms around you and walk you by hand in every situation you face. You humble yourself. You begin to live a life of humility. You're gifted. He gave it to you. You're anointed. He's in you. To just see him in everything. Thank you, Lord. You're my Savior. Without you, I can't do this. But with you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're here today, watching online, listening to podcasts, if you're here in the room, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then begin to grow with us. Grow with us in seeing who God really is. His name is to be praised. Amen? Let me pray for you in Jesus' name. Oh, what a name. There's no name above that name. Who you are, your character, what you've done, what you will do, what you've promised. Your love is greater than any love. And we thank you, Lord, for salvation, healing now in Jesus' name. And we praise you for all things that you have called us to and are walking us in and through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.